is about the Holy Spirit is our home in the new creation. And praise the Lord. We have been studying in the book of Galatians. We've been having Bible study on Sunday mornings, and we're in Galatians. And we're ready to start in the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. And I'll just call to your remembrance about this book. Paul had established this assembly. They had received the gospel from him, the gospel of God's grace. And they had been continuing in it. And then there were some that came along and in their meeting and sowed some leaven, some error. And they were moved away from the truth of the grace of God to law keeping. And so that is the reason Paul wrote this book to them. It's a letter. He wrote this letter to them. And when we come to the 7th verse of the 5th chapter, he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." And as I said, they had received the message of grace. They were saved by faith, believing that Christ died for them. And they were saved by faith alone, apart from the works of the flesh, of legality. And they had continued in that faith until some pious person or persons sowed leaven. And Paul here, he's asking them to consider the motive. For he says, this persuasion did not come from the God of grace. It is leaven. Now, you look it up in Webster's dictionary, and it identifies leaven as a substance that modifies or aggregates, producing fermentation in dough, making it to rise, such as yeast. Leaven is never used in a good sense in the Bible. Jesus called the doctrine of the Pharisees, who were very legal, and the Sadducees, he called them leaven. And Paul also warned in 1 Corinthians 5:8 against the leaven of carnal glorying and of malice and wickedness. And what does he exhort them there in 1 Corinthians? He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." Its damage is widespread, as we read here in our portion. It says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." The natural action of leaven puffs up. I think y'all understand that concerning bread, dough, and so on. A little teaching of law keeping soon defiles and puffs up a whole assembly. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What did we read in verse 6 last week? But faith working by love, it works by love. It does not puff up, it builds up. Let's continue with verse 10. Paul says to these saints in that assembly, "I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." Now, we know that Paul had learned not to have any confidence in the flesh. We read of that in Philippians 3:3. But he had confidence in the Lord touching his people. Did you notice that? He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 3:4, we read, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. I try to keep from having so many verses to back up different statements, and you know, you can get a little carried away with that from your original text. And Paul also, though, we read here, he not only had confidence in the Lord to touch the hearts of these saints, but he also had confidence that the Lord would deal justly with those Judaizers, those legalists that had come in and sowed leaven. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Good verse to remember at certain times, isn't it? We all need to learn that God is able. He's able to work in the saints, and he is able to deal with the evildoers also. God is able. And we do seek the Lord in such matters. Instead of putting our hand in there and trying to right a situation, we need to rest in the Lord. Take it to him and rest in the Lord, because he will take care of the matter. Sometimes it's not like that. We have to wait, and the Lord gives us faith to wait his timing, but he will take care of the situation. And so we can rest in his care. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? These are questions. Then is the offense of the cross ceased? You know, the law keeper does not provoke persecution. They don't suffer persecution. People think of them, oh, how good and how moral and upstanding and they are. But let's consider Jesus' words in Luke 16:15. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The preaching of the cross and the living in the victory of the cross is foolishness to the natural man. Yes, he looks upon it as foolishness. But they're the ones who are ridiculed, not the law keepers. It's just much like that story in the beginning of Ishmael mocking Isaac, who was the fruit of faith. Isaac was the fruit of faith. Ishmael was the fruit of the works of the flesh. Well, let's continue with verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Praise the Lord. We read in Romans 8:21 that we have been brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Yeah, look that up. Romans 8:21. We have been brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then we read in James 1:25, We are governed by the perfect law of liberty. That's a sure safeguard to our liberality. You know, critics will say, oh, you're teaching, you believe you can just do as you please. I bet almost all of you have heard that criticism. Well, that is clearly not the gospel. For believers have a sinless nature. The new creation life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new creation life. The life of Christ. When we receive Jesus, we have his spirit, his life within. The old creation was put to death at the cross. Read Romans 6. Especially verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death. Into death with Christ. That's the old nature. And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should what? Walk in newness of life. The new nature. When we count what God says in Romans, the 6th chapter, that we died with Christ and we arose with him, and that we have a new nature, we count what God has said as true. That's where faith comes in. And then what do we learn in Romans 6? Then we are to yield to the new creation. The new life enjoys the freedom in Christ. We walk in newness of life when we yield to the new nature. The old creation life never pleases self, doesn't it? The new creation life never pleases the flesh. but seeks only to please God and his will. That's what we do. We pray for God's will. Instead of our leading and what we want to do and so on, we look to him. We want to do his will. But, you know, we still are in a weak body because sin has not been taken out. And God has wisely allowed this. We have two natures. God has allowed this, that we may learn to overcome and grow in Christ. I know I have, and I'm sure you have too. We learn exactly what is in that old nature, and it's not very pretty. We learn not to yield to its clamorings, its lusts, but yield to God. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Just consider the law. What does the law say? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. But it cannot make us righteous. God's law is holy, just, and good. But what's the trouble? We're sinners. And we cannot make, by keeping the law, to make ourselves righteous. But a life in grace is so much more than not doing. It is spontaneous if we yield to that life. It is spontaneous. It is joyous. It is a fruitful life that flows out to others, manifested through us, God's love. And it all gives glory to God, not to the flesh. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The natural man can never do that, nor the lawkeeper. And Jesus' words in Luke 10:27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. How can that be done? Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Galatians 2:20. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, praise the Lord, and brought us into this wonderful freedom, children of the living God, into glorious liberty. Verse 15. Now if we bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Didn't that song just bring this out wonderfully that Vivian sang? Yes. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. It's pretty plain. The flesh is our home in the natural. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Romans 8:8-9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When we receive Christ, we have that nature of Christ, that the Spirit within. Well, go forward. We'll sneak forward to verse 25 in our chapter. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, what is that telling us? Living in the Spirit? The Spirit is our home in the new creation. We learn to walk in the Spirit and to be led of the Spirit. There's some things that I'm kind of inclined that I'd like to do, but I better not do them until I get the word from the Lord that he shows me this is what I should do. And praise the Lord for our home in the Spirit, in the new creation. That's how we become elders, spiritually I'm speaking, that we may be able to guide and support the spiritually younger saints. We're growing, and we want them to grow. We don't try to keep the Ten Commandments. We just move with the Spirit. We don't try to love God and our neighbor. Love can't help but love God and to do his will. We simply trust God. See where faith comes in? The just shall live by faith. We simply trust God and walk in the Spirit. This is our faith life. This is a faith life. Let's continue. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, strife, wrath and strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, like so I'm murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Because there's more given in to the list in Romans, the first chapter. And the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When we read this list, we can't help but notice that these works of the flesh are both outward and inward. Outward, like adultery and strife and drunkenness and so on, and inward, like idolatry, hatred, and envy. Some seem to have victory over the outward works of the flesh, but inwardly, that you might say they're furious, they're rampant in those inward works. There is no inheritance for the flesh. Man will not enter heaven, no matter how good his deeds are here upon this earth. You know, there's some who believe that. You know, they're doing good deeds because they're earning their way to heaven. Well, that's not how you enter heaven. Christ is the only way. No matter how sacrificing their life may be, what does Jesus say? Ye must be born again. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we read the works of the flesh, works, that's plural. They're unnumbered. But what do we read of the fruit of the Spirit? It's one fruit. There, it's by one Spirit produces one fruit. The moment that we accept Christ, we begin to live in the Spirit. And as we read here, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. So what can we do? It's right here, isn't it? Believe God. Rest in the power and the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. You can trust the Spirit. You can trust the Holy Spirit. Not in all of these legal laws and rules and things like that, but you can trust in the Spirit to lead you and guide you into victory. When we believe God and rest in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then the victory is sure to be ours. The Spirit desires are against the flesh. By faith, we just hand it over to the Spirit. Again, this is a faith life. Romans 8:13 says, through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. It's not by keeping law. It is through the Spirit. Many believers do not understand the two natures of the believer. That's why there's so much misunderstanding, so much trouble, so much error. in Christendom. When we receive Christ, God says that old nature was nailed to the cross and that we are a new creation in Christ. Now, I will say this. I'm not going to preach on it, but I will add this. There is a spiritual fornication, and that is accepting another head, which is Christ's place. He is the head of the body. So that's spiritual fornication. And also, in the religious world and in Christendom, we see so many fleshly things that are done disguised as religious. But that's carnal, and it's not the will of God. And what do we read in 1 Corinthians 3? Their works will be burned. They will be saved, yet as by fire, but the works will be burned. The fruit of the Spirit radiates from the life of Christ. We call that the inner man. We read 9 traits of the Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit, I mean. And 9 is 3 multiplied by 3. What's that? Divinity multiplied by divinity. That's a full exhibit of the character of God, the God of all grace in the believer. And they're really inseparate as you think about them. Where one is, the others are. They may not be manifested all at the same time. They are the product of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot produce such fruit. Only the Spirit. God seeks fruit from us, from the new creation, not from the old creation. We feed on Christ, and the Father feeds on the Christ life in us. May we refresh his heart. May God only see Christ in us, and that we're not yielding to the old nature. May we let the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to us more and more. Isn't that what we learn? It brings to mind the type that we have in the book of Song of Solomon. We see the growth in her as she goes along. Well, that's what God would have us to grow in Christ. Grow up in him in all things. Then we read also, if the Christ dwelleth in us richly, we will bring forth fruit. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song.